Good morning. So I want to share with you some of the results we had from a couple of trials conducted this fall. I'm located in Corpus Christi, so deep south Texas. We have that luxury of doing some fall weed work after the cotton comes out to address issues that happened that prior season. In this case, we're looking at control of Palmer amaranth with either 2,4-D or dicamba, looking at the impact of different growth sizes, size of the weeds at application, but also spray droplet size. There were some concerns around that, given the types of nozzles we're using with these herbicides, that maybe that was playing some role in herbicide efficacy. Real quick, with me on this is my assistant, Clint Livingston, also located down at Corpus Christi. It was an interesting year, I think, for all of us. Where I'm at in South Texas in 2017, it was interesting to me because we're seeing now on a wide scale these auxin technologies being released in their full capacity. And so we're seeing things that we've been looking at in small plots for a number of years finally in the hands of the growers and seeing how they're using it and how they're implementing that technology. In my neck of the woods, it was mostly a good experience relative to weed control, but there were a few issues. A few weed control failures here and there, but they were mostly dicamba, primarily due to the fact that most of the adoption has been on the dicamba side thus far. So the immediate question is why? To me, most of those cases seem like they might have been weed size issues, growers waiting a little too long to get into the field, or thinking that dicamba would be that miracle herbicide when we know there is a weed size role there. One thing, though, that a lot of growers brought up and distributors and others was that they had the feeling that with these ultra-low drift nozzles like a TTI that produces a really large droplet, that maybe coverage is playing a role there, too, that maybe they were handicapping themselves by using those nozzles. So we wanted to look at that and see if we could learn anything this fall to go into the next season with to share with our growers. Now, some prior work. I think we presented here at Beltwide a couple of years ago. We did some work in a wind tunnel in College Station using laser diffraction to characterize various nozzles. And I just want to draw your attention to two things on this, that being the XR nozzle over on the far left and then the TTI on the far right, because those are the two that we're going to use to compare here in a little bit with our 2017 data. Those blue bars show you the median droplet size, so they're vastly different in their spray droplet size spectra, obviously. The XR produces a very, very small droplet, around 200 microns when it's run at 30 psi. The TTI nozzle was giving us somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 or more microns median droplet size, so drastically different droplet size spectra. Obviously, at some point, that's going to cause some issues with coverage. The question is it enough to cause a weed control failure? We've done some other prior work. This is from 2016, comparing those different sprays, which we've characterized very well in the wind tunnel. In this case, we were looking at control with paraquat, applied to fairly small Palmer amaranth at different gallonages, different spray volumes, which you see on the x-axis. And in this case, last year, we weren't really seeing any impact of those droplet sizes on control of Palmer until we got down below 7.5 gallons per acre. But the key point was we were spraying really small weeds. What happens when we spray big weeds? What happens when we start looking at dicamba when growers are going out and attacking 12-inch, 16-inch tall pigweeds? What's going to happen there? So that brings us to what we did this fall. This was a three-factor experiment separately for 2,4-D and dicamba. Okay, so two separate experiments. Our main plot was weed size, so Palmer amaranth at 4, 8, and 16 inches tall. We also had another species there, horse purslane. It's very common along the coast. Wasn't really our target, but our applications, it was 3, 6, and 10 inches tall relative to the Palmer growth stages. The other thing we had in there was rate. I like to throw in a cut rate. In this case, it was a half X rate just to see if we could pick up on some effects of maybe nozzle or weed size that we wouldn't normally see with a full rate. It just helps to kind of tease out some of those differences sometimes. Our 1X rate for 2,4-D was 1 pound of 2,4-D. We weren't able to get our hands on the Enlist One product. It came around a little after we had started this project, so in this case we're using a standard 4 pound amine. For dicamba, the 1X rate is a half pound of dicamba. We're using Extendamax in that case. And then the two nozzles that we're using to compare are the XR and the TTI that we just talked about. So drastically different spray droplet size. These were two-row plots with running checks. We applied all of these at 10 gallons per acre with the boom running at 30 psi to correlate with what we'd done in the wind tunnel. So if we look at dicamba, that middle column shows you Palmer amaranth control 4 weeks after treatment, and then horse purslane over on the far right. We found for Palmer significance for weed size and for rate. We would expect that, and then an interaction between the two, but no significant impact when it comes to the nozzle that we were using. With horse purslane, though, we did pick up on a little nozzle issue there. Weed size, rate were highly significant, but nozzle was as well. Here we're looking at Palmer amaranth control. Again, dicamba 4 weeks after we treat. On the x-axis, you can see the various stages of growth and then the rate that was used. And I really just want to focus on the 1x rate for this. So you've got 4-inch weeds, then 8-inch weeds, and then 16-inch weeds. And you can see with a full rate, a 4-inch weed, obviously we're getting good results. Up there near 100% control like we would expect. That's a label application. If we wait a week, in this case it was exactly a week, to go from 4 inches to 8 inches, control starts to drop off pretty significantly. Now we're looking at below 80% control. And then we wait another, I think it was 6 days, to go from 8 to 16, and now we're down below 70% control. So the biggest thing for us here with dicamba and Palmer is certainly weed size. And we saw this quite a bit this year. Growers missing those applications by just a couple of days can make a world of difference in terms of weed control. If we look at horse purslane control, again, this wasn't really our target species, but we did see some interesting things here. Overall, dicamba doesn't seem to be all that strong on that species. At the 3-inch timing, full rate still only gets us somewhere up close to 90% control. If we wait till we get to the 10-inch stage of growth, that drops significantly down below 70%. The thing we're really interested in is what we saw earlier, that there was a nozzle impact on control of this species with dicamba. I got a little excited at that, a little worried too. These are data we might not want to show to growers, but as it turns out, it is significant, but it is very small. So overall, the difference between the fine spray and the ultra coarse spray was about 3% for us. So that doesn't scare me nearly as much. Yes, it was significant in this case, but it's not something that really worries me, at least not at this point. And we weren't seeing this with Palmer amaranth. I think that's more important. If we look at the 2,4-D experiment, for Palmer, we had significance with weed size and rate, again, as we would expect. And then for horse purslane, much the same, and there was an interaction between the two. But I'll break this out just like we did with dicamba for you. So Palmer amaranth control, 4 weeks after treatment, the same setup as before, 4-inch, 8-inch, and 16-inch weeds. Just focus on the 1x rate. That's really where the rubber meets the road for us. So applied at the right time at 4 inches, we're getting excellent results, near 100% like we should. You wait a week, we miss those weeds pretty badly. Now we're down below 90%. We wait until they get to 16 inches another 6 days later, and we're below 80%. So the same trend is with dicamba. And these are slides that we're going to show to growers repeatedly over the winter. They need to see this over and over. We don't have a herbicide that did what Roundup did. We don't have a replacement. The weed size thing is so critical, and I don't think enough of them understand that yet, in South Texas at least. If we look at horse purslane, mostly similar there. There is a weed size impact that we're seeing, especially when you get out to 10 inches, though not as severe. And then overall, 2,4-D didn't seem to be all that strong on this species of purslane, just like we saw with dicamba. So what did we learn? Good news was, in this case at least, we're not seeing any major impact whether we're using a fine spray or an ultra-coarse spray, and that's good. We want the growers to use the right nozzle. We don't want to sacrifice weed control to do that, and in this case it doesn't seem that we're really sacrificing much there, with the exception of horse purslane control with dicamba, where we did see that 3% difference. Other key thing is, we sprayed all of these at 10 GPA, which when we designed the experiment, that's what was on the label for the dicambas. That's changed. Now they're up at 15. So if there were some differences there in terms of coverage with those different nozzles, I would expect it would be much improved at 15 versus the 10 that we were testing. But we'll go ahead and repeat this experiment next year. We may need to change the dicamba to 15. But again, our biggest challenge and the thing that we need to continue to harp on with growers, at least in my neck of the woods, is going to be the weed size issue. A 4-inch weed is not up here. A 4-inch weed is one of those that you have to get out in the field and actually hunt and get out of the truck. They're getting better at that, but based on what I saw this year, we're going to continue to need to harp on that. With that, I'm going to wrap up. Appreciate your attention. Does anyone have any questions? Question was if we had any drift DRAs in the tank. Did not. I did not. Just straight goods with the surfactant. I haven't seen that from visiting with USDA ARS's group. They've mentioned that, and it's certain DRAs with certain nozzles, mostly with air induction, but I'm not familiar with the DRA chemistries all that much to really know which ones. But I have heard that, yeah.